Guys, we got a special treat today on the conference call because what we really wanted to kind of do this week is roll our sleeves up and really kind of talk about what it is that a top producer will do in the field to make their money. And, you know, I think perfect example, Brandon, is Ed Arell. We got him on the call with us today. Ed, again, appreciate you being on the call. Ed is an agency director with Symmetry Financial Group. And this month happens to be, when you think about it, December, I don't know how many weeks you were with us for a week, Ed.
The last week of November was really Thanksgiving. So really, it was my first week, my first month was in December.
But, you know, you were with us for a quarter of the month as well, you know, the last week of the month in December. So, but, you know, you look at production on a monthly basis, and somebody that can go out and write $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 in a month of production, that's somebody I want to listen to. That's somebody I want to figure out what they're doing, and I want to try to emulate them as close as I can. And so, you know, Ed, I think really the question I would like to ask you, and we'll probably have more for you, but the question is, what's the difference between somebody that can go out like yourself and do $32,000 in a month? I mean, on a base contract, what kind of commission is that?
17.
Just talking about immediate income. Take 50%. Our starting contract is 60. Let's just take 50%. Just to water it down, 50% of 32,000. We're talking about $16,000-$17,000 a month of immediate income. But how does somebody go out, Ed? What are some of the kind of common denominators for somebody like yourself that can go out and do 32,000? What's the difference between the $32,000 producer and, let's say, this month maybe a $15,000 producer or a $13,000 a month producer? What are you doing? Let's work on that first. What are you doing differently?
And I think that is that. By the way, my name is Ed Arell, director of SFG. Glad to be here. Thanks for honored to have the stage here, so to speak. You know, it really and that is the question. It's not that anybody's any better than anybody else. It's just obviously did different things. I think that. That's really what it boils down to is doing different things to get the result, and that's the goal of this call, right? It's going to take exactly what was done differently, and if repeated, we'll get the same result. And I wholeheartedly believe that there's no magic, there's no mystery, there's no secret, there's no like special mojo. It's simple. So it started with a specific result and went backwards. So the result being is, I got to do at least $20,000 a month, okay, which generates, you know, a certain income goal. That's not really a goal, but you could say that's like the quota, okay? And then wanted to do over that because there's investing money in the business, investing, because here's the thing is my goal, so really the main goal was I did $32,000, so I don't have to keep doing $32,000, if that makes sense. Like the goal is not to work like because you could do $32,000 in a quarter, you could do $32,000 in a year, you could do $32,000 in 2 weeks. I mean, just kind of like pick the time frame. So it's collapsing time frames to the point where my goal is not to work in temporary income. Now it's the necessity right now until the team my team gets ramped up and I find players that are pulling the trigger on everything I'm asking, and we have a recorded call on that in the last call. So it's, right now it's a necessity, but it's not a goal, if that makes sense. Like, again, this opportunity is too good, and I guess you reach a point in your life where you realize that temporary income, self-driven income, is not going to get you anywhere but either broke on time or broke on money. Like, it took me time away from my family to see clients to write the volume. And yep. Now if I want to get paid what I got paid last month from that block of business, I got to do it again. So it's like I'm not a big fan of activity that I got to keep repeating to get paid. So the good news is it's simple, and we'll tell you how to do it. The goal was I did it so I don't have to be doing it that much longer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, not to de-edify the field. I mean, what a great opportunity we have if we've got to generate self-driven income. That's the income off our own efforts. If we've got to do it, because I'll tell you this, I didn't work more than 2 days a week in the field. So if you got to do it, and on a starting contract, that would be like $16,000, $17,000 in a month of income. If you got to make $16,000 a month, not a bad deal to do it in 2.5 days, being a half
day. Not a bad gig, right?
Not. I mean, man, if you're going to make it's over $200,000 a year run rate if I chose to do it every month. It's really if you're going to work temporarily, meaning if you're going to work in temporary income and do something once and get paid once, not a bad gig in about 3 days a week to make $200,000 a year. Right? Pretty amazing. So not taking away from that, because it really we've got an opportunity with our marketing and our carriers and you guys and Brian, we've got an opportunity that is, it doesn't exist anywhere in the temporary. I mean, just think about this. Talk about something scary. Imagine, Brandon, if you were a $200,000 a year employee in January of 2011, like employee, VP of something at some company, like how scared are you waking up every day knowing there's about 1 million other people that would kill to be $200,000 employees because they're not wired right, right? But that's the way they just think about, like, how nervous would I be if I was a $200,000 a year employee? Like, I woke up saying, oh, my, I hope the boss, I hope I don't get fired. You know, like, how secure, right? Does that make, like
mm-hmm.
so to have security, like to add value and be able to make $200,000 a year and make other people money like you guys and Brian, like that's how cool is it to be an asset and make that and have the freedom and also the security to not worry like you're gonna fire me? Like I mean, you guys typically top producers don't get fired. Like it's secure and it's free. So I mean, I'm saying all that to say that pretty amazing self-driven income opportunity, okay? But I'll also say that it still is a broke activity because I got to keep repeating it to make it. See, I'd rather make $20,000 plus a month on other pens, not my own, like on a business team, so I could be with you guys. I mean, I could be in Carolina, then leaving Carolina, flying out to Phoenix for a massage, and then going to New York City to get some good eating and shot. Like it's like, I don't want my vacations to stop. That makes sense. But yep. But if you're living on self-driven, you got to keep going to work, and it gets old. I'm working. So anyway, so how do you do it?
And by the way, I think that's important, Brandon. And you and I talk about that sometimes, Brandon. Like, what is it that you and I talk about and think about when we're walking up to the door to go sell an insurance policy to sit with somebody? You know, we're not thinking about the sale. We're not thinking about a presentation. We're not thinking about that. We're thinking about our business as business owners. And I think that's what I'm getting from you, Ed, is that because your focus is almost somewhere else, see this, you know, and I'm sure you'll get into this in a second, but because your focus is kind of not on the quote-unquote sale, it just happens. Your focus is up on building a business, creating a business income, and because your focus is there, the sale, you don't overcomplicate things. You don't make it more than it is. It's they sent the form in, they want it, I'm just going to go help them apply for it. And you walk in with a different posture versus the guy going, I want to be on the top of the leaderboards every month. I'm going to be the number one salesperson.
Yeah, you try too hard. I mean, there's a lot of that, right? You try too hard, you choke.
I mean, Brandon, because that's what I'm getting, and that's what I get from some of the other top producers, too, is their focus is like going out and making the sale is just, that's what they're doing to generate cash flow. It's not that they're doing it to be a top producer. They're just generating enough cash flow to pay their bills, but also enough surplus to invest in their business and to be able to invest more time in their business. That's why they do it in 2 days a week, so that they're working on that business income. And I think when you put your chin and you put your eyes up a little bit higher than the sale, it just happens. I'm not thinking about the sale when I walk into a home. Ed, you're not thinking about making a sale, right?
No, man. It's funny you say this. It, again, it's just like sports. For pick an example, you know, when you're when you're not thinking and you're just you're focused on something else, you're not just worried about every little detail. What if they say this at the door? What if they're this? What if they're in a bad mood? It's like not a big deal. It's in that you're exactly right, because it's kind of like using a franchise analogy. It's like being the burger flipper. It's not a big deal. I flip a burger and I shake out the French fries. You know, what's a big deal to me is my business. That's where my head is that I'm a business person. I'm not an insurance man or insurance gal. I'm not an insurance person. I'm not an insurance salesman. That's not my aspiration. That's complicated. That's confusing, worrying about, you know, all the different nuances of this. And it's it's simple. They sent a letter in. Okay, the sale's already made. So if you try to be a salesperson, you get stuck. But if you're not a salesperson, like just an enrollment specialist, I've chosen this workload. So kind of getting back to your earlier question of what's different, I just chose a certain workload based on the result I want. So I know that the workload to hit minimum $5,000 in a week, and you guys, really what I believe, if you're full-time, I know you can't really, it's hard to be full-time in the field. We don't have to cold call, so it's like, but if you're fully committed, meaning this is your sole source of income, or main source, and you're not, I wouldn't upset any guys out there, but you're not counting on your wife to pay the bills, that's crazy. I would never put my wife to work. She hasn't worked since, 82. No, she's not that old, but she was a student back then, elementary school. You think about it, though. I put it on me, and I'm like, I just need to populate my calendar to this point. Okay, I need to flip enough burgers 15 times a week. That was my number, 15 appointments a week is my target, because that's going to get me $8,000 a week, $32,000 a month. Simple. I mean, if you got it right, $5,000 a week, which I think everybody should really, that's the number, guys. If you're seriously going to be serious, and it's redundant, seriously serious, but if you're putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, you got it right, $5,000. I can't, even on an average lifestyle, when all said and done, $5,000 a week and have any future to be able to invest, because here's what I know is that if you can't get it done, if you can't hit $5,000, then you're always going to be trying to get it done. If you're always trying to get it done, you never have time to build a business, so you're always trying to figure out how to make temporary income, and that's a dead end street. Okay, but if you figure out how to write $5,000 in 2 days, which is hopefully this call will help you do that, it's very simple, then you could spend time, like my whole goal is to work on my job part-time and work on my dream full-time, okay? I'm not trying to sound cliche or MLM-ish or anything nonsense like that. That's the reality, is that if I could bring in $20,000 plus income a month, okay? Not if. I need to bring in $20,000 plus income a month, income, okay? I do that in 2 days a week. Then it opens up the rest of my calendar to work full-time on why I'm really here, which is to create business teams, which would now free me up from having to do the temporary income of doing something once and getting paid once for it, because none of the books say to do that. It's not a good idea, right? So that's the mentality, is just I have a calendar, which is not – and I'll say this, kind of a caveat, is that if you follow this – and again, I always say this, is that I'm not better than anybody else. Nobody's any better than anybody else. People do different things. If you do this and you follow the system and you counsel and you correct, then you get the same results. So anybody here in this call can do $5,000 in 2 days in the field. Anybody. Anybody. It's not complicated. Because here's the thing, is that the sale's already made. When they send the lead back, when that person opens up that letter, that 1 out of 100, that 99, we're not calling 100 people with mortgages. We're only calling the one that actually opened up, filled out the letter, folded it back up, mailed. The sale's already made. And if you don't believe that, then what do you believe? I mean, I don't want to know, kind of rhetorical question, but I believe that. It's a fact that everybody that sent this back is applying and wants to protect their family. That's what they want. They want to make sure that their house is paid off for their family, because they know for a fact that they can't flip that property for any profit. Okay, there's no liquidity in the housing market. In my lifetime, I can't remember ever having the housing market be a source of illiquidity. Usually it's a source of liquidity. You get equity lines, you buy houses, you sell your old house in a reasonable amount of time, you have equity, and you, you, it's a source of liquidity. God, that doesn't exist right now. Who knows when it comes back? Who cares? All I know is that somebody that sends it in is worried enough about their family to do something about it and make sure that that house is now, it's liquid, because when they die, that family could pay it off or have options, okay? So I 100% believe that. And just like anything else, belief is everything. That's why I like having a personal policy. I've got like 10 of them. I just believe it. I believe insurance is an amazing vehicle for liquidity. It's instant liquidity. Instant. You die, your family's got cash. Pay that, not worry. I mean, why would you I don't understand, Brandon, why a man or a woman, anybody with dependents, or even a single person that wants to leave a legacy to their family, why it would even be thought about? It would be a second thought to have. It's like what an amazing deal for that person to create instant liquidity, especially if they've got dependents, okay, a spouse or children. I mean, I don't get it, but again, I don't get a lot of things. I just do get this, that the people that send it back, they care enough to do something about it, and they will do something about it, and I need to see them to help them do that. I mean, so it starts with that belief with the lead, okay? And the sale's already made. All I've got to do is populate my calendar. Okay, and my calendar is, I need 15 appointments a week. Okay, I got 2 days to do it. I got 1 day on the phone, 2 days in the field. So Saturday morning, by far, is the best time to call. We've got phone teams. If there's not a phone team in your area, there will be soon enough. And you want to run that, guys, hearing this call, you can step your head up and have a phone team, or somebody will. I mean, it is what it is. It's just a matter of, you got a phone team on Saturday, and I think the phone team and setting appointments is the key to winning or losing. You know, either you populate your calendar or you don't. You know, the battle's not won in the field, it's won on the phone. So setting up my calendar from 8 to noon on Saturday morning, okay, setting Mondays and Tuesdays, all right? So 7-8 appointments a day, 2 days a week. To do 10,000, all you need is 5 appointments a day, 2 days a week. So 10 appointments between Monday and Tuesday. Okay? Simple. Set it up Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, and by Wednesday you need 5,000 in hand. That's what needs to happen to enjoy the privilege of getting free and having time to now work in the dream part. Because you asked me earlier, Casey, you said, well, it's selling is not a big deal and mortgage protection they want. It's not. It's not like glamorous to me. It is what it is, and I'm serving families that have asked for it, that care enough to do something about it, and I'm passionate about that, but not my goal. The goal is to knock out my activity in 2 days to free up the next 4 days of the week to work on what I'm passionate about, which is putting people in business in vehicles where they can accomplish their dreams. And really, it's kind of like putting people in business where they're making a lot more money than they thought they could and a lot more than they're willing to give up, okay? That's the key. Okay, so if it's somebody's never made more than 100,000, put them in a vehicle to make 100,000, 120,000 pass. It's just like, so that's where the passion is. So the schedule is the first part, populating the calendar. And I'll say this, is that it's kind of like you could do 100% of what you hear from your mentor, you could do 80% or 60%. So let's say you only do 50% of what you're in this call, well, now you need the whole week to do it. Like if you were to ask me this question, Casey, like why do I think or how do you not get the results you want? I would just say don't listen and don't execute the plan that's laid out for you. It's kind of like we're all in our own way, but what degree? Because it's not convenient. It wasn't convenient. And let me just say this, is that the catch to it is that when I sat down and did my goals and said, okay, I'm going to write, you know, 15 appointments a week. I didn't say I need 15 appointments a week in this area with this type of lead. I don't care. I just need enough ammunition. I don't care where I got to go, okay, what I got to do. I don't care. It's not about convenience. It's about results, okay? Easy and convenient is a hobby, okay? Hard and necessary is a business, you know? So you got to resolve that this is not some hobby. I'm very focused and specific. I'm not casual about my approach. I think that's kind of a key mindset, is that this is not a hobby. This is a business. It's life or death. That's the mentality. Not casual about it. If it was a hobby, I wouldn't care about the results. I'd do when I felt like doing it. The problem with hobbies is they don't make any money. So if you treat it like a hobby, you get the result a hobby provides. So it's a business. Okay, it's not optional. It's necessary. Here's the schedule. Here's how I'm going to populate it. Okay, and it starts with that. And I'll tell you this, guys, is that the more we operate on our growing up lines thought process, our leader's thought process, versus our own, the better we are. Okay, so let all the strategy come from them. Like I think I call you and Brandon Casey probably 10 times a day, right? I mean, you take. Do I call you guys? Is anybody calls you less more than me?
Nope.
I'm not saying it about me. I'm just saying that I found that people that chase me in my downline throughout the years that call me the most make most money. And those that don't call me don't make any money. It's like, it's not about me. I think it's any relationship. It's that, are you counseling and how often are you counseling? Okay, so be the top chaser in your agency. Be the top chaser in the agency, chasing your mentor and operating on their thought process. So the more you operate on their thought process, the better you are than your own. Okay, I know that. I also know that let the strategy come from your mentor who's making a lot more money than you are. I mean, really, it's not, it's just like, whose results do you want? Do you want your results? Let's say you wrote 10,000 last month. Okay, well, if you operate on your own, you'll write 10,000 again, or you want to write 30,000. I don't know. It's just like, whose thought process and strategy are you running? And have the attitude of, I'm going to run the strategy set by my leader, regardless of how convenient or inconvenient it is. See, there's the catch, is that you can't really make 20,000 income in a month if you're like, well, I want to be in my neighborhood, I want to be my zip code, I really want to be home in bed by about 9:30, and I love that late programming on the networks, and man, guys, seriously, so counseling, operating on the strategy of your mentor, give them a goal, and we'll give you the plan, and the strategy and the resources, all is set up line, because that's where you want to be. Those are the results you want. Okay, so got the resources, got the plan, operating 100% on my upline's thought process, my leader's thought process, not my own, okay? And then from there, just populate the calendar. So phone team, now guys, the beauty of a phone team is you've got your mentor right there sitting with you, or if they're not there in person, if it's long distance, they're counseling on the phone to correct you. So you take action, you correct, take action, correct, until we close the gap in the learning curve, so to speak, because really my approach on the phone, the sale's already made, so I'm not checking interest on a lead. It's already a lead. It would be kind of like in the building checking interest on a response. It's already, the interest is already checked. They sent it back saying, I want it. I mean, in my opinion, guys, how much more do we need, how much more proof do we need that they're serious about it than 1 out of 100 filling out a letter, putting all their personal information, folding it back up, and mailing it to us? Like what else are we looking for? Like a check in there? Cash? What else do we you want to draw? Like it's done. So I call you up and I'm like, hey Casey, you're like, yeah, this is Casey. Hey Casey, Ed Arell with the Mortgage Protection Group, calling about that letter you sent me on that mortgage protection on your home on Main Street for $150,000, Bank of America. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. All right, great. And I see all this information here is correct. Okay, now something were to happen to you, I always ask this, who would get the house if something happened? That'd be my wife. Okay, and vice versa. All right, now are you working now? Yeah, I'm working. When do you work? I work night shift. So what, you go in when? Go in 7, back at 7 a.m. Is that 4 days a week? Okay, so you work in the night shift. And how about your wife? When does she work? Oh, she's a housewife. She raises our 2 children. Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, it takes me about, 10, 15 minutes to see what you'd qualify for. I've got about 15 other people to see. You're out in your area tomorrow. I've got a 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock. What time is better for you and Mary? See, I already know he works at 7, so I'm like 3 or 5. He's like, well, I'm sleeping until about 3, so why don't we make it 5? Okay. And I get your address is this. Are you still living there? Oh, yeah, I'm there. Okay. All right, great. I'll see you tomorrow. Done. I mean, it's not any more of a big deal than that. And if anything comes up, like, it depends on the lead. I don't really care if it's a recycled lead, somebody else got her, and I'm calling her, or it's a brand new lead. It doesn't matter, but if I get, I don't know if we can afford it or we changed our mind, but no problem. I just got to drop the information off. Again, 3 or 5. I don't care. I'm like, not, we don't want it. Great, 3 or 5. It doesn't matter because they want it because they requested it. So there's no, I don't want it. Now, when I get into the home, I might have to spend a little bit more time asking questions and drilling down to what was that original emotion when you got. See, that's all. All I'm looking to do is get in front of them to capture that original emotion. OE, original emotion. I'm just asking them, why? What prompted you to fill this letter out and mail it back to me, John? What prompted you? And he'll tell you. And just keep asking why questions. We'll talk about the in-home in a second here. But that's I just want to get in front of them. So whatever they say, I don't care. All I care about is when do you work? I'll see you at this time. Okay? Casey, you started you were doing a longer – were you doing a longer script? So was I. Right? We were doing a longer script and
– we used to do like a – it was like a three-page
– oh, my gosh.
Remember that script, Brandon? Me and you used to do it, a three-page script.
Oh, the tie-downs? 18
and the
tie-downs?
And the thing is about any – you know, the thing about a script like that is it worked. But if there's something that produces and yields greater returns, then let's find out what that is and let's do that.
I'll tell you this. We've never had, I mean, up until recently, say the last year or two years, whatever, we haven't had products that can cover the really sick people. Now we got a product for everybody. So back in the old days, you had to kind of be healthy.
Yep.
But now you could be like cancer treatment, like chemo. Well, we're there getting chemo and I could do so. I mean, that's, I mean.
Exactly, yep.
Make it 2 years, Bob? Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, doc, yeah, he's going to make it. Okay, done, no problem. You know, it's like we had a luxury now. We could pivot with the product in several different directions where, you know, it's kind of like the mentality you have in building is the same in appointment setting. Guys, don't worry about what you're going to show them. Okay, or paperwork, because that's not your decision. That's going to come from your upline who's operating on superior knowledge. What is superior knowledge? Somebody that's been where you are now about 10 years ago or 5 years ago or like 200,000 in production ago that knows exactly what to do. Why would you operate on your own thought? So it's like my rule is I never discuss product with an agent on a lead. Like, what do I show this 96-year-old? Don't worry about that. How old is his wife? 74. Okay. Like, I don't... All I want you to do is populate your calendar, and I'll give you the strategy. So it's kind of like make a mess. Book 20 appointments your first 3 days. Before you go into that appointment, we assure you, you'll know exactly what product, okay, and what approach to go with. Don't worry. Don't get caught up and limit your activity because you're like, I really have no idea what to show these people that. I got to study my products. That doesn't work out too well because you could be great at products without appointments. It's just a bad equation income-wise. See, you can know nothing about products with 10 appointments in 2 days, you'll make $100,000 a year. You can know all the products with 2 appointments and you'll be broke. So do you want to know products or do you want a paycheck? It's kind of one of those questions you got to ask yourself. Because products is simple. You die, it pays. You don't die, you get your money back. What else do you need to know about? What else?
Yep.
You want to know the mortality rates? I'll get you on the phone with the chief underwriter, the chief actuary. So real quick on the phone, boom, when do you work? And I'm just populating my calendar on the hour. And here's my mindset with my calendar. Guys, I understand that people have schedule changes and they get called into work or they have to stay late or emergencies pop up and all that nonsense. I get all that. So here's what I do is going into my calendar, I populate it for that event. I'm hoping, like, by my fourth appointment, like an hour late, I'm hoping for, like, a one leg. I, like, come the middle of my night, especially towards the end of my day, I'm just praying that please have one of them not be there. I'm 3 hours behind. Like, I overbook like the airlines, okay?
Yep.
If you want to be profitable, overbook your calendar. I book everything on the hour, even if there's 20-minute drive time or an hour drive time. Usually, typically not. I mean, strategically, you don't book an hour apart once you're in an area. But let's say that traffic, whatever, I'm booking on the hour, and it takes me about 45 minutes in a house from A to Z to get it done. So I'm overbooking. I mean, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yep.
You know, by my 9 o'clock, Casey, it's about midnight, right? And we're watching Jay Leno together and whatever. I'll sleep late the next day. That's why we don't do the conference calls till 1 o'clock. I mean, the whole.
That's right. Sleep in Monday, right?
Sleep in Monday. So, when's our first conference call on Tuesday?
No conference
call. None. So sleep late. What about Wednesday? None. So go out late Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday. But I get drowsy. I'll have coffee. 5-hour energy. What do you want? I don't. Okay, so. Overbook.
Well, listen, Ed. Back to the script, real quick. Back to the script. guys, it works extremely well, and I've made some adjustments to my own even recently, just kind of making it even shorter, sweeter. Again, back to the posture of they want it, they want to buy, they don't want to be sold. You start trying to sell it, and that's where, again, where we get into problems, but they want to buy it. So just get in the home as quickly as possible. I'm just trying to find that time when they're going to be at home so I can knock on their door and they'll be there. That's all I'm trying to accomplish with a script, Ed. And it's working. You started asking me how it's working. I mean, just thinking about...
How many appointments did you book over the holidays?
Yesterday I booked one, and this was within probably an hour and a half at the very most of dialing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 appointments in an hour and a half. And just so you know, that's over today and tomorrow. And you talked about, populating your schedule, overbooking your schedule. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 appointments today. They don't start until 3 o'clock. Now, some of you guys are going, what? Yeah, but there's only... 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. There's only enough room for 5 or 6.
That's it.
But there is. I'll sit with 5 or 6 people, but I have 9 booked. That's better than having 4 or 5 booked and only sitting on 3 or 4 because you had a no-show or something like that. So what Ed is talking about is golden. It's what the top producers do. They overbook their schedule. I have 2 appointments booked for 3 o'clock. I have... 3 appointments booked for the 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock slot.
And that's the thing, is that what you just said is that that's a foreign thought process to those that haven't made multiple six figures in this business. And I'm going to say operate on that crazy thought process. If you're thinking, well, I'm always used to being on time and being early, I'm going to say, well, that's why you're here. If you worked out there, you'd be there. Do it this way. Because it works. Like, do it this way. It doesn't make sense to be in control. It doesn't make sense to be running 3 hours late, but it does make sense because what's your posture like when you get there? Like, we changed our mind. Thank God you did, because I got like 7 other families I got to see before like midnight. So, thank you. They're like, they don't get it. They expect you to be like, what do you mean change your mind? If you booked every 2 hours because you want to be courteous, whatever. See, they're not going to be courteous for you. Why would you be courteous? In a sense, like they know show you, like, oh, he called late. Sorry, man. I mean, how many times, Casey, in the early days before you double booked and overbooked?
No. Yep.
You had a gap of 3 hours before your next appointment. You get there, and she's like, man, I'm sorry, but he had to work late. Like about that much compassion. And you're like,
exactly.
Oh, but I drove off. Sorry, man, I don't know what to tell you. Right? I mean, isn't that what they say? Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. Well, I'd rather be the one saying that than having them say it to me, right? Sorry, hey man, you're late. Sorry, what can I tell you, man? I got a lot of families that want this. Sit down. Can I get a glass of water, please? Let me get a bag of chips. It's like not... right, Brandon? I mean, it's like... It's working out of strength or working out of weakness. And my paycheck will either be strong or weak based on if I work out of strength or weakness. So if you want a weak check, work out of weakness. You want a strong check, work out of strength. You got to be bold, not timid. I just choose big check over small check. It's all it is a choice. Anyway, so in the home, you're right, Casey, it's all about getting in front of eyeball to eyeball and asking that magic question, you know, why am I here? Why'd you fill this out, Bob? What was going on in your head when you got this paper and mailed it back? And they'll just tell you. So you want to go to the in-home now? Or any of the thoughts, guys, Brandon, Casey, on setting it up or working the phone?
And I've always said what you're... You know, people buy from people they like, and you know, when you think about something that makes you likable, generally we're attracted to people who are confident, who aren't needy, who aren't put, you know. And so when it comes to this, I think the activity level and the way you're booking your schedule, it puts you in a position where your posture is right.
Absolutely.
And then it opens people up, so you put them in an atmosphere where they're able to buy something and get themselves protected, because you're thinking about them, you're wanting to help them versus you're thinking about yourself. You know, if you book 3 appointments over a 2-day period, you need to make some sales. You need to kind of have a high close ratio. You got to sell all 3 of them in order to pay your bills. You get in this kind of needy position, you're not confident, your posture's off, and then you start getting all these objections. And you got to figure out a way around them versus go in with the right posture. I always kind of compare to the guy that took the golf lesson, because he wanted to fix his swing. And, you know, so he puts the golf ball down and he takes a swing at the ball, and he looks at the golf pro and he says, you know, he hooks it off to the right, and he looks at the golf pro and says, can you fix my swing? And the golf pro says, well, I saw what you did wrong. I could help you with your swing, but it's not so much your swing as it is your stance. If I fix your stance, then it will correct your swing. It's the same thing with sales. Like, so many people are focused too much on sales and how do I say this and how good of a salesman am I and how do I answer this objection, because if I could figure out how to answer this objection, then I would be, guys, that's your swing. The stuff Ed is talking about is your stance. It's your posture. And the cool thing about it is if you fix that, then the swing just happens. The sale just, what do you say when you get in the home? It just kind of comes out. It happens. So I think that's my two cents on what you're saying, just to kind of hit the high notes there. But good stuff, Ed, on the phone.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really it.
Thank you. Okay, so you got, yeah, it's about posture. I would be scared to see that guy like on video with he's got one appointment in a day and he's driven 3 hours to get there.
It made me a nervous wreck.
What does he look like at the door? Like, it's racked. Like, I gotta be so scared for him. Like, what is he like? Is he shaking? Like, dude, I just see you, man, by like appointment number 4 tonight, and you're like running 2 hours behind. You're like, you know, like the swagger.
Yeah.
Like, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah, tell
you
know? Me no, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Try tell me no. Come on, I don't care. I'm out of here, man. You love your family. It's like, what? That's the thing, is that we could tell you what to say in a home, but without the posture, as you're saying, and stance, you can't pull it off unless you actually live in it, and you live it by setting your calendar up for it.
Yep.
Crazy. So now
the in-home. What you're doing is you put yourself in a position through activity. You put yourself in a position where you don't need it.
And then you
and
get
then
it.
You put yourself, and then you get it.
That works.
Versus putting yourself in a position where you need it and then you don't get it. It's kind of backwards,
but
it's funny how it works.
A lot of analogies like that when you need something desperate. And you're right, man. I mean, it's like, look, I'm here for you guys. What prompted you? And you're so like, you're calm, but you're urgent because you're like 5 points behind, and you're like, you know, let's go, come on. You know, you're not. It's all set up. It's a setup. You set yourself up for that, or you don't, because again, the in-home is pretty simple. And really, the in-home presentation boils down to really three components for me, or three steps, if you will, which is rapport, emotion, and assumption. It's really just to remember the steps, and I have a script to support it, but it really not so much about a script. It's about, you know, it's 45 minutes max in a house, and the first 10 minutes is building rapport. Walking in there, saying, hey, how you doing? And really getting back to caring, not that desperation like, man, I really need them to buy. I really got to write this. And what am I going to tell my wife if this one appointment doesn't work out? Gosh, man, she's already on the button. It's like you got 8 appointments, you're relaxing. Hey, how you doing? It's a nice place you got. Tell me about, wow, what is that on the wall? And, you know, it's like, and you mean it. And you've got compassion, and you're generally, you got to connect to John Maxwell, his latest book on most communicate,
yes.
Few connect. Is that the title?
Everybody communicates, few connect. Great book for what
I mean,
you're talking about.
Books on the book list, so I mean, it's kind of, but that would be probably a good read, or definitely a good read to how to connect, because you can't, what do they say, you can't grab their head until you touch their heart or whatever. And it's, you can't just go in there and help them unless you've connected with them. So rapport is connection, and connection is being genuinely interested in them for the right reasons, which is to get to meet them and connect with them, not because I got to make a dollar and they see the dollar signs. You know, you already set yourself up to make a bunch of money, so don't worry about it when you're it's not something you should be worrying about when you walk in the door and shake their hand. Like, I'll walk in, whoever answer, whether they're 5 years old or 95, or grandma, I don't shake the hand, how you doing? And they say, oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, Ed, Mortgage Protection, let's sit down here. And I walk to the kitchen table, and just about 10 minutes of, you know, rapport. I find something that interests me in the room, or I chat about family. So, wow, you guys have the grandkids living here? What's going on? They tell you. You see them a lot. It's just like genuinely interested. I do have them do something for me. I find it's a good rapport tool, is to have them get a glass of water or something to something to eat. You know,
like
that's
that.
Always ask for something. You know, that's being active, proactive. I mean, reactive is, you know, oh, would you like something to drink? And never say no. You're rejecting them. So you reject them, they're going to reject you. So
exactly.
Be proactive and say, hey, Casey, man, I've been talking all day. It's crazy how many people want this right now. Can I get a glass of water, man? And he's like, done. And you build rapport with his wife or whatever. It's like they get you a glass of water, and they're sitting there, and I have them sitting like catty corner. I'm not sitting between them. I'm playing ping pong. And I'm just looking them in the eyes, and I'm relaxed, and I'm just rapport.
And then it's kind of like just, you know, when you get on an airplane and you're sitting next to somebody, like just to build rapport, just kind of talk with somebody like that. What kind of questions are you at? You know, it's a lot of questions, but it's just simple.
Icebreaker
kind of question. You know, just get to know them a little bit. And when you're sitting next to somebody on the plane, there's no reason to do it other than just you're sitting next to them. Talk to them a little bit. And so I think that's kind of the mind frame that I when I'm talking to somebody. It's just getting to know them. You know, shake their hand. Don't forget about the sale for a second. Just get to know them. You know, and if you do that, you'll be genuine with it versus sitting there thinking about this is the reason why I'm building rapport is so that I can make this. So you got to get that out of your head. Just get to know them.
Absolutely. It's funny. It all starts with your calendar. I mean, you load it up. You just genuinely care and ask them questions. And then once you got a connection going, I pull out my book. You pull out the lead. That's the whole thing. I mean, just
yep. And so transition, is there something that you say Ed, to kind of transition, I know we're kind of talking some of the details here, but is there a transition that you say, you know, some agents go in there, I got a 2-hour version, I got a 10-minute version, you know,
no.
There's
I mean,
nothing, you just go right into the
rapport. I find a gap in the rapport, and I say, okay now, I guess you could say, okay now.
Let's go over that again, okay now,
short sentence, okay now, time is going to break. It can't be okay now. Okay now. It's like, okay, you know.
Okay, Matt. You got to work on the inflection there.
Okay now. So that's why we're recording this, so we can get the timing down. It's like a delivered joke, right? I mean, you can emphasize certain words and the sentence mean some different things. And Okay now. John, is that your handwriting? And I turn a lead and I give it to John sitting next to Mary. And he's like, Yeah. That's I remember that. Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Whether they sent it in 10 years ago or like yesterday, they remember. They remember. They're like, oh yeah, it's my hair. Yeah. Now I don't even want to say this, but maybe I don't. The 32,000 I wrote, the leads. I don't think any lead was newer than like 120 days. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I just screw up a lot of excuses for people. I'm not going to stop that stuff.
No, you just,
I don't
you
want to
just really
them.
Tick people off, Ed.
Yeah, I hate it. When you remove excuses, you're like, I'm naked now. What do I tell somebody? You get dressed, man. Step up. Work on yourself. It's kind of like when you're naked, you see the flaws. Well, work on your body. Don't blip. Well, put some clothes on.
32,000. 32,000.
Like clothes, right?
Know what they call A-leads.
No, man. They were... If
they were older,
lucky, they're like, that was 2 years ago. I don't know what's up, man. You love your wife? I don't care. It's like, I don't. How do you feel about her right now? How's your relate? Pretty solid. They were old. I don't care. They were old. They were all. Like, they would tell me, I don't remember that. Great. I'll see you at 5 then. And so like, man, that must have been seriously. That was like a year ago. Yeah, man, we're busy. We're just catching up. That was my line. I mean, you wouldn't believe, Casey, how many people care about their family that want this thing taken care of. Great, just like you. That was a lot. We're catching up, man. I'm still like 2 years behind. So anyway, and I probably told everybody I established. So like, if you had the excuse, like, I need the newest, I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe I could have done 60 on newer. Then get crazy. I don't know, man. But yeah, they were old. We call them PR, whatever. They were, yeah, they've been sitting on the shelf because nobody cared enough to call them enough. I don't know what it is. So anyway,
back to this location. I mean, just off.
Yeah,
the,
they weren't in my backyard. They were old, and they were far away. That's another excuse killer. So
they were
old leads, like probably like, I don't know. If I'm lucky, I was 120 days out, but probably more like 6 months, 200 days. I don't know. And they were, some were 2 hours away from my house, some were 4. So I had to drive and stuff, you know. But then if I drive, I could talk to you guys more. So I figure that's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. You took advantage of that. So no excuses.
So yeah, they were old and they were far away. But then I pulled it out, and they say, hey, John, he goes, yeah, that's me. That was some time ago. Yeah, we're real busy catching up. You remember that? Yeah, well, why'd you fill this out, man? What's up? And now we're friends, so I'm not talking to him like a – it's not this – people think salesperson is like this professional, articulate, formal, stuffy dialogue. It's, man, it's so – like, we're buddies now. You know, I got some carrot sticks and a lemonade. You know, I've seen pictures, and you know, I even asked for a tour of the house. I've been in their bedroom. by this time, it's like, yo, what's up, dude? Shh, man, it's great, and we're buddies. You with me? So it's not. I'm serious, but I'm casual. I'm like, so man, what's up, man? Why why'd you send this in? And he's just like, you know, well, I want to make sure she has a house. And because why? You don't want her homeless, Mary? You want to be homeless? Like, I can talk this way because we're buddies. She's like, no, man, no. He makes more money than me. I can't pay this. Wow. So what would you do if it wasn't paid off? And I just start drilling down. I love asking, like, deep questions and getting real. I can get personal because I have rapport. I have connection. So I'm like, well, so you wanted to make sure again, John, it was paid off. And then I'm like, why? And I just take that why train, so to speak. I'm like, why? I just
That's the emotion step of the appointment.
The script so far, it's okay now, why? And then why? Like, why do you want it paid off? Because I make, you know, most of the money, or she doesn't work, and or retire. Like, here's another catch to my leads. I was telling you guys, I don't know who cherry-picked through them, but my average lead was about 78 years old. So they were, like, 2 years old. They were 4 hours away, and they were old people. I'm like, oh, man, my favorite. So most of them, I'm telling you, I'm all about Easy UL, man. I'm like, I think I've written more Easy UL.
That's a good product.
No, it's an amazing product. We didn't have it. So I talk about products. I never had something up to 85 with any face amount to show people. I get healthy seniors. Oh, it's so I'm all. I mean, most people. Again, you can look at my apps. The average age is probably like 86. Okay. And it's good dynamic too. So I'm like, all right. Why? And typically, it's like, well, my pension and my three Social Securities and whatever. My three pensions, my Social Security, my military retirement. You know, it's if I die, I lose a lot of that, and she just has Social Security, so she can't live here, and I want to make sure she's taken care of. I'm like, and why do you want to take care of, you know, take care of her? How do you feel about that, Mary? And I get hurt, and she says, well, no, it's important because I'm screwed if something happens to him. So I'm like drilling down. I'm not talking about product, or I'm not selling and being fancy. I'm just like sitting there interviewing them on, you know, what was going through your head. And drilling down with questions, just why questions, why? They say something, I say why. They say something, I say why. Now, even if they say things like, well, I just wanted to see what it cost, why? Well, because I want to see if it's viable, why? What's viable now? When you say viable, what happens now if you die?
Mm-hmm.
Is the premium easier to come up with than the $200,000 to pay the house off? Or Mary, what would you think would be easier to come up with, the $200,000 or the premium? You tell me if it's easier for the $200,000. Let's just well, no, of course not. Well, then what would you do? Do you have the $200,000 in cash hanging around? No. So when he dies, what do? Well, his job has a policy. What if he gets sick before he dies and he can't work anymore and his policy lapses? What do you do then? We never really thought about it. Well, thank God I'm here and it's not too late. Okay, here are the three options. It's not complicated stuff. It's like, I just say why. Even if I just wanted a quote, why? And I just drill down. And by the time my fourth, fifth question, they're like, you know what? They run out of answers. You know, typically I find people are about as good as one or two objections deep. But if I can go 10, and here's a trick to going 10 objections deep, just ask why. And they run out of stuff. They're like, dude, I don't know why, man. I just, I'm like, something. It's like not... You get that? It's like there's nothing fancy about it. I'm just saying, why? I'm like, I find this approach, we're going to have do a call on this too, but I find acting dumber is better than acting sharper. I find that a lot of successful people, they're really smart, but you talk to them, they like kind of act dumb. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to wow the customer with your own ego on how smart you are and articulate and how much you know about insurance. That's not the approach. It's to kind of be like dumb. Like, I don't know, man. I got this letter at my desk, and I don't really understand what it says, but I was told I had to come. What? I just like to be dumb. I'm like, why? You want to quote? Why? What do I tell my boss when he, why? And I just keep asking why. And they tell you, and they tell you, and they tell you, and they're like, you know, we really need this. I'm like, okay. here are your options. I need, guess I need a voided check now. And it's not, I can't emphasize that enough. Let's not be too smart and too fancy. And
so you don't have like a flip chart presentation where you go over like the insurance company ratings?
I pulled on an 80-inch screen and I have a slideshow. And I have different phases of my slideshow. So we start off with, and wait till you get my actuary and my different settlement option slide.
Okay.
Dude, settlement options are mind-blowing. You start talking about settlement options, that's where I hook them, is on the settlement options.
How do you want it paid out, right? You can do it weekly, you can do it monthly.
Yeah, you want it perpetuity. Once I throw the P word out, perpetuity, they get nuts. So, yeah, it is. You got if you die,
no flip chart.
Here's my close. Do you want your money back or not?
Okay.
That's about as deep as I get in the product. Do you want your money back? Well, how do they give us your money back? I don't know. They just do it. Which one you want? Well, how can they afford it? I don't know. You know, they just give me two options. So again, getting back to why, what are you looking for? And then I show them what they're looking for. Well, here's what the product does. It pays the house off when you die. You don't die, it gives them money back, just like the letter says. So the letter is my sales prop, that one lead. So why'd you fill it out? I go, why? We talk about the lead. Okay, so it pays if you die, which means that, John, when you die, Mary's got a house paid off. Is that what you want? Yes, okay. Or you don't? You do want to pay. Okay, because he told me five times. So here's another tip, is only ask questions you know what the answer to it. Ask questions that you know what the answer to the question is before you ask it. So when I ask a question, they've already told me yes. That makes sense. So you want the house paid off? Instead of saying what I already know, like you told me you wanted the house paid off, is that right? So the first thing it does is pay the house off when you die. You want that for Mary? Well, yeah. Mary, you want that for him if you die? Well, it depends. Okay. Yeah, it depends if you qualify. Don't get mad at me if you can't. Okay. Now, money back gives you the money back. So what I actually like to do, we can get the money back in 20 years and pay this thing off early. Does that appeal to you? Oh, yeah, I could do that. I don't know if you can. I don't know if you qualify. Don't get mad at me if you can't. You with me? Okay, guys, take away. And then,
yep.
So I go over that, and I say, Dan, do you have any questions about how your, not the program, but how your mortgage protection plan works? Any questions about it? John, Mary, any questions about how your plan works? Well, no. Okay, now I put together some options and prices. If you have any questions, let me know. More importantly, let me know which one suits needs and budget better. So I have some options written out. Show them the options. They look at it. And I say, okay, option one pays the house off if you die, gives you the money back. It's $208 a month. Okay, covering both of you, $140 each. And the second option pays the house off if you die, no money back. It's $150 a month, covering both of you, $75 each. Which option suits needs and budget? They pick it up, look at it. The second they say something, like even if they ask a question, I pull the application out. Like typically a question is, well, can we start with this and upgrade it if you qualify? Is my answer. I'm like, all right. Now, what's your driver license number, Bob? Whenever they say something, not like I'm not looking for them to say, sign me up, Ed. I'm just like, well, if they ask a question or like, well, tell me more about this option. Can I just cover him right now and add myself later, Ed? If you qualify. You see, that's my rebuttal to their objection. See, they're giving me objections, and I'm giving, I don't know. If you qualify, Mary, right now you can qualify. You get cancer next week, you can't. Do you know what's going on next week? No. Okay. Well, you can, but you can if you can't qualify. You guys with me on this? So I'm like, all right.
Yep.
So then I pull up the application. All right, what's your social? What's your driver license? Okay, boom, ask all the health questions. Now, I like everything done at point of sale, so phone interviews. I know my See, I do my homework before I go in, so I know their age and the face amount if I need a phone interview. You know, so like if it's a phone interview with AM, I do that at the end, and I start them on the phone, and I'm out of there because I'm running behind. I'm not going to sit there for 25 minutes. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go now, but I got to get you on the phone with the underwriter. They're going to have more questions for you. They're going to probably ask the same question 18 times. It's okay, though. They're thorough, okay? And I let it roll, and I'm out of there. It's very simple. It's assumed. So rapport, emotion, assumption is the whole key. And I say, okay, now it takes a couple weeks to the policy. And once it comes, I deliver every policy, guys. It's not – I'm here for stuff to stay on the books. This is not a game of giving back advances. It's a game of earning advances, getting residual first year, and if it's that's why I love the seniors because there's renewals, but they hopefully don't die during that renewal period. But it happens. I mean, so
yeah,
like you don't get paid renewals when they die, do you? Did the renewals stop?
I think the renewals stop. Yeah,
so,
pretty sure.
The gamble. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
but I'll say I'll be back with the policy if it's approved. If it's declined, I'll see if I can get another option when I come back and see you. But don't get mad at me. Okay? Oh, no, I'm not mad. Okay. I'll come back. Now, who else do you know that cares about their family like you guys, that has a house or apartment or that's not homeless? Well, what do you mean? Who else has dependents that need some instant cash for their family like you guys did in getting the referrals? Okay?
Yep.
When you're in the rapport, you found, I mean, we can go with the, into the to the four C's on the end. It's just a matter of
yep.
time. But guys, that it's really rapport, emotion, assumption, keep it simple. Connect with them, care about them. Interview them on why they applied, because they applied for the protection, why they applied. Show them some options. Pull out the application, get a voided check and on the option they chose, and it's done. It's not. It's simple. On to the next one. Simple, on to the next one. Simple, on to the next one. Simple, and you just become automatic.
You know, I think that, and by the way, guys, I didn't get a phone call from you, one, asking me about the products and about how this product worked and how that product worked. And Brandon, I don't know about you, but did you didn't get any phone calls from Ed? And same thing with some of our top producers, you know, top leaders in the company. Where do you find that stuff at? I mean, did you go on the web? I mean, how much of that legwork did you do, you know, on your own, Ed? You said you did your homework. What did you do there?
Oh, that was tough. It was like, hey, John Edwards, he said, yeah. Hey, Ed, I'm going to send you a product guide, an application, and a rate software download. Okay.
And that was it.
I had to read the product guide, man. Don't tell me, but I had to read it. And it said, like, I can write up to 200,000, give me issue ages, told me if I need a phone interview or not. And I just, like...
What do you say if you have an agent that keeps coming back to you, Ed, and saying, well, I just don't feel like I got the product. How does this work? How do you...
I don't answer questions. I just say, you know, how many appointments did you book? Well, I know because they're in the phone team. So they didn't book appointments. Why are we talking? Right? It's not like I'm not being rude, but I'm like, you're not. What's the point? What's the point of the dialogue? You didn't book any. You didn't show up for the. Because they don't. Like here's the thing is that I'm going to tell them what to. Until they're going to see me talk through at the first, you know, 7, 8, 10 appointments mm-hmm. on what to show in the home and in the approach, and then they get it typically by then. It's like all we're doing is talking. You know, I'm telling them what to show, and I'm just like, here's what you show. Write it out and rapport, emotion, assumption. We role play on it. I kind of give a little game plan before each appointment based on the profile of the client. So if you don't come into a phone team or you don't book appointments or you didn't book appointments, then I don't have anything to talk about till you have appointments. Once you have appointments,
exactly.
I'll tell you what to show. So if you ask me, well, tell me more about product. I would ask you. Tell me about your first appointment. Tell me their age and the mortgage amount and their health. So you don't know the health. Okay, tell me their age. Okay, well, I don't have my first appointment. Then let's get the first appointment. Then I'll ask another question. I didn't see you on Saturday at the phone team. Were you there and I just missed you? What happened? I don't
yep.
want your excuse, but you weren't there. Okay, I'll tell you what. So can you book appointments tonight? Yeah. Okay, call me after your first $20. So what I do is I ask questions and I set an expectation of activity. And I don't, like, I don't, it doesn't make any sense for me to, I don't know what to talk about if there's no action behind it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like, what am I going to talk to you about? You haven't booked an appointment yet. What are you asking me about product for? You don't need to know about product. You need to know about booking appointments. Have you listened to the CD 10 times? Then I'll say, can you listen to the CD and write a transcript and fax it to me? See, it's funny, when you give somebody that's giving you excuses on why they can't work, when you give them activity before you deal with them, they don't do it. It makes your job, does that make sense? It's like, they're not asking about product because they want to know about product. They're asking about product. It's a stall tactic
because
they don't want to work. So then you come back and you really upset them and give them an assignment to go to work. Like, no, before I make any calls, okay, you get a product guide? Write it out and fax me a transcript of the product guide. Like, okay, where can I find that? In your inbox. Have you clicked on it yet? Well, I check my email once a week. Get a smart – it's like, what do you know? What do you mean? But it's just like – I want to help the person, but some people just can't be helped, right?
Yeah.
But I want to help them. I really do. I mean, again, we're the rainmakers, right? I mean, if I can hire Casey and put him in business making $20,000 a month, man, what value
rainmaker.
I've added to him. So it's all about value added, but you've got to be open to take value in.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
I like it. So in-house, rapport, emotion, assumption.
Rapport, emotion, assumption.
That's kind of what's going through your head. And, you know, we'll spend some more time working on the kind of the post-sale stuff, you know, the you got the application, the voided check, you know, what to say now. That'll be another topic for another call. But, Ed, great stuff, man. Really picked up a lot. And I hope all you guys did that are listening, too. I mean, $32,000 and really just a couple weeks' worth of work in December on old leads that were, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours away. Unbelievable month, man. And I know that, that's not necessarily what you were going for to be the top producer, but that's what happened. And love the input from you, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Been an honor. And, again, hope just, the whole idea of recording this is that hopefully we can kind of impart some of that mindset and add value, man, add value. I keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it over again, nobody's any better than anybody else. Nobody is. Like, it's not about that. It's just about doing different things and operating on a different thought process. So I'd love to see everybody making, you know, even $10,000 a month income working 2.5 days wouldn't be a bad value-added proposition, right?
Exactly.
And but again, the goal is to get free of this and to be efficient in generating revenue so that you can spend the time helping others and putting them in play like you were put in business. You know, because that's, you know, what exactly. In my opinion, is what I owe SFG is that I'm put in business and I put more people in business so I can add value. And the more value we add collectively as a team, the more value we add. That makes sense, you know?
Yep, that's it. And Brandon, I think the $5,000 a week, you know, you talk about that a lot as kind of being the bar where, you know, until you're hitting $5,000 a week, you know, you haven't really got started yet, you know. And you said, Ed, it's like you're always playing catch up and you're just trying to pay the bill and you have no surplus to do anything with. And so that $5,000 a week is really the number we need everybody to be focusing on, to you know, but again, that helps you build your business is get that $5,000 a week. So,
well, you get the cash flow glow. I mean, it's getting back to organic. It's organic when you're making money. You know, you get these emails. I was showing you some emails in Asheville. Like every day, I get emails. American Amicable. You know, daily pay emails. Yeah, I think I showed you one for a daily pay. One pop was a $3,000 daily pay. And it was $1,800 the day before. It's just like you get these daily pops. You're like, that's a daily. I mean, it's just like, and then you go in for an interview. Like, oh, look who just came in my phone. Oh crap, he saw my email. It's like you can't. You know, it's like you could be organic or you could be phony. Just like work hard enough to be organic and get freer quicker. If that makes sense. You know.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, Brandon. Any wrap up comments?
Man, just great stuff, Ed. Really appreciate it. And like you said, you know, it's all about populating your calendar, all about activity on both sides of the business. So once people get that part down, then the rest just really comes easy. So, Ed, really appreciate you being on, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's an honor, and hope this helped.
That's the common denominator, guys. Get out and work the plan. So hopefully you picked up some on today's call, and we appreciate everybody for jumping on, and we'll talk to you on the next one.